Alrighty. Well, hey, how many guys have noticed that, man, ever since March or so, whatever, that this COVID thing has gotten a little bit crazy out of hand? You know what I'm saying? In fact, I'll tell you what, one of the things that I've noticed what's gotten out of hand is it seems like every day they're not just duplicit with these new rules, but they're hypocritical about it. And they're frankly, they don't make sense, but frankly, they're just crazy. Have you noticed that? Now, for those of you who apparently are living under a rock, I'm going to share with you some current actual COVID-19 rules. And you tell me if they're not crazy, okay? Get a little political, but that's what we do here, all right? But and this is, I'm not making this up. These are the actual rules that we've been conditioned to accept. It's nuts, okay? But let's take a look at some of them. Right now, Walmart's bathrooms are open, but their dressing rooms, which you go into alone, are not. How does that make sense? That's crazy. You can go out to eat with your family, but your family's not allowed to go to your doctor appointment with you. You think that the doctor place would be a healthier place to go, but that don't make sense. It's crazy. You must wear a mask while walking into a restaurant, but you're allowed to take it off once you get seated. Last night we went out to eat. I was telling my son, let's just take the plate with us wherever we go, because apparently as soon as you get a plate or a drink, COVID goes away, right? I don't have to wear the mask. It just disappears. It's nuts. It makes no sense whatsoever. These are actually, hey, you may have one visitor at the hospital, but your husband can't go with you to ultrasound appointment. Last time I checked, that's one person. Hey, you must use a cashless payment system at the drive-thru so nobody touches your money. But the same guys are touching your bag of food when they hand it to you and they cook it in the whole nine yards. Give me a break. That doesn't make sense. But we got to accept that. Hey, you can walk around Walmart, Target, Lowe's, etc. with 200 other people at least touching things that they also touch, tons of them. But you can't sit in the church services with your family and friends. Give me a break. Okay, now that's crazy, big time. Hey, no more than 10 family or friends can attend a funeral of a loved one, but thousands of good people can attend a funeral of a lifelong criminal? Excuse me, that don't make sense. You can protest, riot, loot, or destroy cities by the thousands, but you can't be with your elderly loved one who's dying in hospice. Folks, that is not just crazy, that's sick. And another crazy thing I'm still personally trying to figure out, because now they're pushing the vaccine thing, watch this. I'm trying to figure out how can an unvaccinated person give a disease to a vaccinated person if the vaccines work? What are you worried about if it works? Oh, he's getting crazy political. But it isn't just crazy political, folks. It's crazy. This is actual stuff that's going on in society, and we've been told we just need to accept it. It's nuts. Amen? Anybody? Okay. Right? And but, folks, as crazy as all that is, I think I found something even crazier than that. It's this. Talk about you. This is nuts. It's people who still, this day, even today, refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior so they can escape going through not just COVID, but the 7-year tribulation, the worst time in the history of mankind. And they still say, nah, I'm not going to do it. That's crazy. Amen. Why? Because Jesus said that is going to be the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God kept it to just the 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. Make COVID look like nothing. Okay, and this whole thing, it's crazy. Why would you hesitate? But praise God, God's not just a God of wrath, okay? He's going to have the last word in all this evil and suffering baloney and new world order baloney and stuff that's going on right now. He's going to have the last word on. That's the good news. But he's also God of love as well. And he gives us a fair shot, a heads up warning when it's getting close. He doesn't tell us the exact day or the hour. Why? Because we goof off to the very end, wouldn't we? Okay? Or procrastinate getting saved to the very end. Oh, I've got 5 minutes to go. I better get saved. No. So, but he does give us signs it's getting close. And that's why we're going to continue in our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. Now, we've already dealt with 20-week study on the Jewish people and the Antichrist. That was the first huge mega sign. We're living in that last day's generation. The second sign was a 16-week study. We'll get into a little bit of that today in our study called Modern Technology. Okay, and then the last 20 times, of course, has been the AI invasion. And what we've been seeing is in the book of Daniel some 2,600 years ago predicted that when you see a massive increase of information exploding across the planet, you're headed for the end of times. And what's crazy is the secularists even agree with that. They don't call it end of times, they call it singularity, where their words are AI, artificial intelligence, AI robots are going to take over the planet and destroy humanity. They call it singularity. It's the same thing. And as crazy as that is, folks, it's going on right now. And what's even crazier is even though God warned about it, the secularists are warning about it, they're still racing to create this thing as fast as they can. It's the new electricity is permeating all aspects of society. So we begin to take a look at this future that's coming that God said is going to be the end. This is it, man. This is the last chapter. And we begin to take a look at overview, the definition, the types, the history, the big data, the makers of AI. And then, of course, what is that future going to be like? It's horrible. When God said it's the end of times, I mean, how blunt can you get? When the seculars say it's going to destroy humanity, even they get it. And it's permeating all sectors of society, business, finance, convenience, agriculture, communication, education. 4 weeks in a row, we dealt with medical, okay? And then, of course, last time if you were here, transportation. And what we saw, that's not by chance, folks. I really believe this is dealing with Matthew 24, when the Antichrist goes on his hunting spree after the abomination of desolation, says, worship me, okay? Jesus said, those who are in the seven-year tribulation at that time, you should get saved today and avoid it. But if you find yourself in that time frame, your only option is to flee. But now that the Antichrist controls the transportation system, you ain't going nowhere. Or, as we saw, he could use that same transportation system to take you out. It's all being controlled by AI. Personal transportation, public transportation. And did you, if you're there, remember, they even are getting this condition that AI, not maybe, not my, AI will decide who gets to live or die. People won't be making that decision. AI will decide who lives or dies in this transportation system. But that's not all, okay? The Antichrist, I believe, is covering all bases. And that leads us to where we left off last time. And AI is making an invasion into criminal investigation, that I call it. And see, that's a slippery slope. Who gets to decide who's the terrorist or the criminal? Yeah. Right? But AI is taking this over, folks, and I don't think it's by chance, okay? As we saw last time, the Antichrist, when he goes on his hunting spree, it's going to be a murderer slaughter. We saw before in Zechariah 13, two-thirds of the Jewish people are going to be killed. Prior to that, in the beginning part of Matthew 24, Jesus said on a global basis, anybody that turns to God at that time, they're going to hunt you down and kill you. In fact, your own family's going to turn you in. Horrible. Okay, but listen, I believe that he can not only have that slaughter in the seven-year tribulation prevent people from fleeing, but listen, with AI technology, listen, the Antichrist is building a system that will predict even when you're even thinking of fleeing. As crazy as that is, folks, I believe it has to do with this text. Open your Bibles to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, okay, verses 15 through 22, the same text we saw last time. But let's pull out another aspect of what's going on here. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Matthew 24, okay, Matthew, of course, was written by Matthew. That's right, you biblical scholars. John, you're amazing. I'll tell you what. And Matthew 24, starting with verse 15. Now, again, we're talking about the seven-year tribulation. This is at the halfway point. The church is not here. The church is not in any one point at all of the seven-year tribulation. Why? Because it is an outpouring of God's wrath for 7 years nonstop. Jesus said that we are rescued from his wrath. That's what he did. Romans chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 Thessalonians 4. We are saved from, we're rescued from, we're not appointed unto God's wrath. So how could we be in there? Well, we're not. He's talking about the Jewish people that will still be in the seven-year tribulation, okay? And then, dare I say, any Gentile who made the mistake of not receiving Jesus Christ their Savior today are in there, okay? These are the people he's addressing, but that's the time frame, the halfway point, verse 15. So when Jesus speaking, when you see standing in the holy place, what's he talking about? The rebuilt Jewish temple. Okay, Paul talks about this again in Thessalonians. The abomination that causes desolation. Well, what's that? Well, Paul talks about that's when the Antichrist goes up in the rebuilt Jewish temple and says, now worship me, I am God. And he also says that's also what was spoken through the prophet Daniel, right? Let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea, what? What's your only option? Flee. In fact, flee to the mountains. And then he tells them what not to do. He says, let no one go on the, what? Roof of his house and go down to take anything out of the house. In fact, let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. Why? Because how dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Listen, if those days had not been cut short, i.e. just kept to this time frame, what would happen? No one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. You may be seated. But again, as we saw of you here last week, Jesus clearly says, it's reiterated again in the book of Daniel, but also with Paul, elsewhere in the New Testament, that the seven-year tribulation, this is the halfway point, the abomination of desolation. The Antichrist goes up and does the dirty deed. He dupes the Jewish people, the first half. He makes a treaty with them, Daniel 9:27. That's what starts the seven-year tribulation. The Jewish people think he's the great guy. This is the guy. He's our Messiah, if you will. He brought peace to the Middle East. He shows his true colors at the midway point. Worship me, I'm God. And of course, the Jewish people aren't going to do that, obviously. And so again, Jesus said, when you find yourself in this time frame, again, get saved now and avoid the whole thing. He says, your only option is to flee. You better run. You better flee. But again, as we saw, the Antichrist is controlling the transportation system. No wonder it's going to be a slaughter. Where can you go? He's closing all doors. Okay, but I see another thing very well that Antichrist could be doing, because remember, he's a murderer, just like Satan, who's been a murderer and has been one from the beginning, John chapter 8. And the other thing, he not only tells the people what to do, i.e. flee to the mountains, we saw last time, but he also tells them what to do. And he says, whatever you do, don't flee to your house. Why? Because as we saw before, folks, in our 16-week study on modern technology, half of that study, 8 weeks, was what on what? Big Brother technology, right? Where literally the Antichrist, using AI, is turning our homes into a Big Brother paradise. We've been convinced, out of convenience and all this other stuff, and so-called personal security, that we've got to have all these devices into our homes, and those devices, what? They allow them at any time, not even counting your phone, they allow them at any time to hear you, to see you, to watch you. They know everything you're doing. They see what you're doing. They hear your conversations. It's all being recorded. So listen, he will know if you, at this time, have the audacity to try to flee. He'll hear the conversation. He'll see you. He'll see you trying to get prepared. But listen, here's where I'm going with this. I believe he's also working, again with the help of AI, to not just know when you are looking and verbalizing you're getting ready to flee, listen, that he will be able to predict when you're going to flee before you even do it. Now, that sounds crazy, folks, but what it is it's basically, as I said last week, the Minority Report movie. Remember that movie premise? And that they had these pre-crime units, and they would use these things called precogs or whatever, that would have this foresight to predict when people were going to commit a crime, and they would actually go arrest them. People haven't done anything, but in this pre-crime world, they would go get them, haul them away before they actually did anything. Now, for those of you who didn't watch that movie, let's watch that scene where they go and haul somebody away because the system told him he was going to do it, even though he didn't. But let's take a look at that.
Good luck, John.
Any contractions?
Only the ones you give me.
Dad, what's coming?
Red ball, double homicide, one male, one female. Killers male, white, 40s. Agatha nailed the time frame at 8.04 a.m. The twins are a little fuzzy on that, so we'll need confirmation. Location still uncertain. Remote witnesses are plugged in. This will be case number 1108.
Morning, detectives. Case number 1108, pre-visualized by the precogs, recorded on Holosphere by Precrime's Q-Stacks. My fellow witnesses for case number 1108 are Dr. Catherine James and Chief Justice Frank Pollard. Good morning.
Good morning.
Will the witness preview and validate number 1108 at this time?
Affirmative, I will validate.
Okay.
Stand by.
Time of murder, 8.04 a.m. That is 24 minutes, 13 seconds from now. This is a red ball. Foxhall, 4421 Gainsborough.
Send a DCPD blue and white. Set up a perimeter and tell them we're en route. Positive for Howard Marks.
Mr. Marks.
By mandate of the District of Columbia Pre-Crime Division,
I'm placing you under arrest for the future murder of Sarah Marks and Donald Dubin that was to take place today, April 22nd, at 0800 hours, 4 minutes.
No, I didn't do anything. Sarah!
Give the man his hat.
Oh, God. Don't put that halo on me! Sarah!
Put your hand on your head!
Help me!
Well, let's not kid ourselves. We are arresting individuals who have broken no law.
But they will. The commission of the crime itself is absolute metaphysics. The precogs see the future, and they're never wrong.
Oh, yeah, computers, they're never wrong. AI never gets it wrong. AI never goes rogue and all that stuff. But, hey, good thing that's just a movie premise for our entertainment. They wouldn't be building that kind of system, would they? Can you sense the sarcasm? Yeah, folks, I'm telling you, as freaky as this system is actually all not coming. It's already being built. And I'm going to demonstrate today it's already being used, not just in Europe, here in the United States of America. Predictive policing is the term that they use. But let me share with you, it's a step-by-step approach letting us allow AI access to create this huge, massive database monitoring system and then watch their every move and build a pattern and be able to predict what we're going to do. Sounds crazy, folks. Okay, but this is what they're working. And the first step that they've already got us conditioned to is allow AI to control the police. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but AI is already the one that's being looked upon to control the police administration, the overall back end of police systems, the operation in general, the databases, scheduling, the whole nine yards. I don't even have time to get into that. Just like all the businesses and finances and other things we saw, hey, the police are getting in on it too, under the same rationale. It's going to save money. It's more efficient, blah, 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 blah. Okay, but I'm telling you folks, it's going even further than that. Another big part of the policing system is they're watching for criminals, right? Now, how do they do that? Video, right? As we saw in our Big Brother technology section, the modern technology system, they have installed CCTV cameras all over the place. Not just in foreign countries, including here in the United States. We exposed all that. Remember that? And we're not talking thousands. We're not talking millions. We're talking hundreds of millions. And they keep cranking them out every day. Hundreds of millions or more are coming. But here's the problem. That's what they say they have to do to protect us, which makes us like a rat in a cage. And that's not even counting all the monitoring stuff going on at home. This is now in public. You're being monitored everywhere you go. Restaurants, out in the streets, public places, bus stops, you name it. Street lights, remember all that stuff? Billboards that are watching you back, remember all that stuff? But here's the problem. That's hundreds and hundreds of millions of cameras. You can't hire enough people to watch that, to monitor that, right? It's impossible. It's not even economically feasible. So what are you going to do? And you keep launching millions of more. Guess who they're looking at to watch the whole thing simultaneously? AI. AI has the power to tap into all these monitoring systems. And it literally becomes not just the big AI eye in the sky. I'm not even talking the satellite technology. Remember we dealt with that too? That's creepy enough. They're videotaping us from the sky 24/7. And they can even play it back like a DVR. What were they doing 2 days ago? It's not. That's already here. I'm just talking stuff on the ground. AI is what they're looking to tap into all that so it can manage the whole system. And what it is now saying is because it's been watching and it could do what humans can't do, it's watching it all at the same time and it's been watching us everywhere we go. AI now with its, if you will, AI brain can start to predict patterns of behavior. Right? And let me demonstrate that, folks. It's already here. Watch this. The threat of mass shootings give rise to artificial intelligence-powered cameras. Right? Because we not only got to stop those school shootings, we have to predict when it's going to happen before it happens. Again, predictive policing. And the cameras are one of the first big steps. And again, these are being installed, folks, all over the place, including in schools. Right? Now, let me just give you a quote from this article. Paul Hildreth peered at a display of dozens of images from security cameras in his Atlanta school district, okay, and settled on one showing a woman in a bright yellow shirt walking down a hallway. The AI-equipped system found other images of the woman and stitched them together in a video narrative of where she was currently and where she had been and where she was going. See, AI can do what AI can, oh, and she was over here and she was over here, and put it all together. And you see a pattern of behavior. Watch this. An AI can become an active observer that can identify people, including people that have suspicious behavior, including people who have guns, who are amassing amounts of massive data, and they can recognize their mannerisms, gait, and dress. Do you see what it's doing? It's not just watching. It's developing patterns of behavior. Because it could see it all. It knows how many times we go out of the house. It knows how many times we do this. It knows how we walk, how we dress. And it starts to analyze all that. Go, it's starting to look suspicious. This person might be doing a crime pretty soon. And this is the system that they're doing. They're building a pattern of behavior. Okay. And then, of course, what they do is when AI thinks that you're going to do something wrong, i.e. in this case, a shooting in a school, they will be able to alert people in advance. Okay. And predict behavior. And it ain't just schools, folks. That's just one example. I'm telling you, everybody's getting on AI running these cameras. The first step was to get the cameras in under the guise of, we're here to protect you. Now they're letting AI take control to predict behavior. Police, retailers, stadiums, Fortune 500 companies all are using AI now to run these systems to predict behavior. You don't believe me? Watch this direct quote. What we're really looking for with AI running the camera system are those things to help identify, quote, things either, quote, before they occur. What's that sound like? Minority Report. Or right as they occur so we can react faster. And they even admit this. It's almost kind of scary. And, quote, it will look at the, listen, it will look at even the expressions on people's faces and their mannerisms and be able to tell if they look violent. You better smile wherever you go. Just sing that song. Don't worry. Be happy. I don't want them to predict that I'm going to do something crazy. And listen to this. Retailers, listen to this. Direct quote. Retailers can spot shoplifters in real time and alert security and warn them of a, quote, potential shoplifter. You haven't done anything yet. But they'll come and get you. Because based on the patterns and mannerisms, they've been watching you whether you realize it or not. Throw in all this database about you and the profiling. I haven't got to that yet. Oh, you didn't do it. Yeah, but we know you were going to steal something. They'll come and round you up. This is the system that is being built. And then they say, it's not sure how many AI-equipped cameras are being installed because it's not being tracked. Well, that's encouraging. And again, it's not just schools. It's all over the place, okay? Now, on top of all that, I think they're already going to the next step. And what they're doing is they're now getting this used to the new technology that AI can do, just like we saw all the other areas. All the service robots, remember that? They have the robot chef. You got the robot babysitter. You got the robot babysitter for the elderly, grandma and grandpa. You got the robot that can bring you stuff, the robot that can teach you. Remember what I said? Well, guess what? They got robots for police. And my theory is this. Of course, they say, well, it saves money, right? The guy doesn't ask for a 401k plan. We don't have to worry about, you know, health care for this guy. He doesn't ask for a day off. It's a robot, and it can. But I think they're doing that, too, put it with this other stuff, is let's say AI says, go get that person. It looks like they're going to do a mass shooting. Go look at that person. It looks like they're going to steal something from that store. Well, what did the guy say on that movie clip? Do you realize this system? We're arresting people for something they haven't done yet, right? Well, a human might think that in this system. I'm not going to go arrest the... He hasn't taken anything yet. But an AI robot would. It'll always follow orders. You see what I'm saying? I don't think that's by chance. Take the human equation out of it, and you're in trouble. But watch what they're doing with AI robot police. I'm going to give you just two examples that are already being put into play. Let's take a look at this.
Remember that movie from the 80s, RoboCop? The one with the very deadly but kind of goofy robot cop who fought crime and kind of a dystopian future, right? Well, it might soon be more of a reality than it would be fiction. One police force is now using technology to help fight crime. RT correspondent Natasha Sweet is in Huntington Park, California with the details.
This RoboCop here in Huntington Park is utilizing 360-degree video cameras and other technology to help keep an eye on the neighborhood.
HP RoboCop records 360-degree video with high-definition cameras and has night vision. It can read license plates and alert officers if a particular vehicle is nearby.
It also has the ability to capture cell phone MAC addresses or AP addresses. So it can also tell us what cell phones were in the area.
Officers can also live monitor the RoboCop's video cameras.
Please help keep the park clean.
HP RoboCop is an autonomous data machine surveilling Huntington Park's largest recreation area 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Back in May, the Dubai police got some new recruits, and these weren't your ordinary newcomers. Now, these guys were made of the hard stuff.
I am a humanoid service robot.
Planned to be built in all of Dubai's neighborhoods are the world's first smart police stations, which will be completely unstaffed. Citizens can pop in for a safe driving lesson, a quick coffee, or even to report crimes. They can also meet Dubai's own RoboCop.
I am the latest incorporation to Dubai's police department.
Like so much of Dubai's over-the-top ambition, the police force wants to be seen using the latest crime prediction and surveillance technology to watch over the people.
We have our cameras, our drones, our robots. We are going to live in science fiction movies.
Artificial intelligence-based predictive crime systems, autonomous patrol vehicles, and unmanned police stations are just a few of their futuristic initiatives.
Not coming, already starting to be in play. And if you think, oh, those are just I can run from that thing that looks like a whatever that thing was, R2-D2 with the cone head, okay? I can outrun that thing. Well, it's watching you. What did it say? It can even scour the data, your cell phone data, and find you even after you're long gone. This is nuts. And that was in California, not Dubai. But then you got that robot police. Well, that guy's just screwed. You ain't seen nothing yet, folks. We're not even there. That's what's coming after this study. Lord willing, if we're still alive and still here, we're getting into the military. Wait till you see the Terminator robots, not coming, already being built. Wait till you see the one from Russia. Russia's Terminator robot cannot just shoot. It can shoot with both hands, and it never misses its target. I'm not joking. They even show it driving a vehicle all by itself. It's freaky. And you don't think they won't use that kind of technology? You are not going to run from those, right? You ever see that movie, Chappie? I believe that's the kind of stuff that we're going to be policed with if we are still alive and still here. This is all coming, folks. But again, they're removing the human element. Why? Because I think that when the order goes out, we have predicted this person is going to do some behavior. We have predicted this person is trying to run from the system. We have predicted this person is going to flee in the time when somebody says, "Worship me." A human might hesitate to go round up that person, but not an AI. It'll follow the orders, including an AI robot. And folks, did you see what they were saying? Do you see the terminology? They said, it's not just crime. It's crime what? What did they say? Crime prediction. What are they talking about? They're talking about the Minority Report scenario. Okay, which is where I'm going now. Now we're going to demonstrate. That's exactly, again, not what's coming. It's already being put into play. Again, if you want to look at a term in the media, it's called predictive policing. But that's what it is. Just translate that Minority Report. Because that's the system, again, not coming. It's already being built and played. Now, again, how are they doing it? It isn't just what they're doing. How are they going to predict what you do before you even do it, in theory? Well, not just the cameras. That's the first big step. Right? But the other thing that we saw in our modern technology is all the other areas that they're tapping into and building profiles on us from. Right? And we saw that could be from computers, cell phones, video cameras again. And it could be not just in public, it could be in your own home, satellites, social media posts, data records, financial records, purchasing records, you name it. All that data is also being run and monitored, tapped into, searched, and building profiles on top of the camera data by AI. Now, what that allows AI to do is it could tell where at any given point that criminal who might be guilty of something is in the public. Now, the first step that they did with that system is they gave the police, actual human police, these things called AI smart glasses. Okay? And China's been using these for a while. We got them too. And basically what these smart glasses, you can see there with the photo, they are equipped with not just built-in cameras. So you think the cops just walking around with some cool shades on? These are AI-powered cameras that are monitoring in real time what is being seen through those glasses, and then it's being a constant, continual feed back to AI that is monitoring that feed in real time with those glasses on, And it will tell the cop instantly, as you can see there, it's like, whoop, there he is, see it? And it matches that with the data, the profile, the person, the photos, the whole nine yards. You won't be able to escape. Now, that's freaky enough that they're doing this, okay? But now they're moving to the next step, and they're removing the human altogether, where now we don't need to pop these things onto the human to see what's going on. They're skipping the whole thing and going straight back to the cameras. Do you see what they're doing? And so they'll apply that system to the whole CCTV system all over the globe, and you ain't going anywhere. Now, where this comes unfortunately in handy for them is have fun trying to run in that system, right? Because if it's just a single cop with AI smart glasses, well, the only way he's going to find you if he just happens to see you in a crowd. And that's just one guy. But what if you tapped into all the cameras everywhere in the home, outside the home? Where would you hide? Which goes right back to the Minority Report movie. Remember how it started? Tom Cruise was the guy that went and hauled these people away that were, you know, that he was told was going to commit a crime in the future. Remember that? But what was the twist in that movie? The same system said, well, he's going to commit a crime, and then guess what? He starts to run. How far did he get? It rhymes with nowhere. You know why? Because everything in society was built in this gigantoid system that was watching everything where you were, and it recognized you everywhere you went every second of the day. Let's take a look at that scene again.
A road diverges in the desert. Lexus. The road you're on, John Anderton, is the one less traveled. Make sure you
Good evening.
You can move the old-fashioned way.
John Anderton, 21 calls, provides gourmet cuisine.
John Anderton, you can use a Guinness right about now.
Stress out, John Anderton.
Escape from it all, Harrison. Get away, John Anderton. Forget your troubles.
He's been identified on the Metro. The train makes two stops at 20th and 33rd.
Send unit C to location.
You can run, but you can't hide. The same system that you work with, that, man, this is going to be great for society, it turned on you. And see, that's the problem. Who gets to decide who's the criminal? And then what if they made a mistake in this predictive policing system? They said that you were going to do something, but you're saying, but I really wasn't. What's your recourse of action? You don't have one. And then you start to run. Where are you going to go? You see what, folks, this system is already being put into place. Now, can I tell you who's helping them build this facial recognition software that feeds into these cameras that the police can monitor and find you through AI anywhere? Just like that movie scene. It rhymes with Amazon. Amazon facial recognition can now, listen, detect fear. And people are getting upset because guess who they're selling this to, as you can see there? Law enforcement. Now, their facial recognition system, Amazon, quote, CEO Jeff Bezos announced that its facial recognition software, it's called Recognition, spelled with a K, Recognition, has added a new emotion. First of all, how many of you guys realize that they built facial recognition software? Right? But now it's added a new emotion. It can detect not just fear, it can detect happy, sad, angry, surprised, disgusted, calm, or confused. So it predicts what you're going to do. It also says it's improved its accuracy for gender identification as well as age range estimation, right? And guess what they're doing? It's not just facial recognition software, but it's in their cloud computing division known as Amazon Web Services. Prior to our study earlier, what did we see that was? That's AI's artificial intelligence department. So they built this system that not just watches you, it is literally watching every possible emotion, what you could do in case you might do something sneaky. They're selling it, listen, here's where they're getting into trouble, people, at least those that are aware of this. They're selling it to, quote, police departments, government agencies, and immigration customs reinforcements. You know, in case you try to flee across the border. You ain't going nowhere. It's already being built. And they even admit this, quote, if you get falsely accused of an arrest, what happens? It could impact your ability to get employment or housing. Turn to somebody and say, well, duh. Let alone your ability to flee, even though they're after you and you didn't do nothing. What are you going to do? What's the recourse? This is exactly like that movie, okay? And if you think that's not going to happen, folks, watch this. How artificial intelligence can be used to what? They're now not only built the system, they're saying this is going to be exactly like Minority Report, to, quote, predict threats. What do you mean predict threats? You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, and this whole system is what? No, we know you're going to do it. I didn't do nothing. But AI's tapped into this whole system, allowed to run in, and it's going to predict whether or not you look. See, AI said you were going to do it. This is nuts, folks. Talk about Big Brother on steroids, and watch this from this article. Artificial intelligence and machine learning can now perform predictive analysis that enables identification of individuals engaged in suspicious activities or may be guilty of a violent threat. Today, administrators can use the technology-based predictive security solutions to, quote, foretell mass shootings and other violent acts, quote, before they happen. What's that? That's in print. That's Minority Report. And they admit that the way it can do that is the camera system and all the vast amounts of data that it collects on us through all the Big Brother stuff that we just talked about. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's already being done. In fact, I'll tell you how blunt it is. And I've said this till I'm blue in the face. Hollywood, we think, oh, it's just entertainment. That was a cool show. Action. Woo! Mystery, intrigue. It's to prepare you for what they're building, including the Minority Report. England is already using this system, Minority Report, and they even call it for what it is. Watch this. Real-life Minority Report cops use AI to predict violent crime before it happens. That's a direct quote. They're not even hiding it anymore. British police want to use AI for highlighting who is at risk of becoming a criminal, listen, before they actually committed a crime. And then they admitted, quote, it sounds like a dystopian nightmare. Turn to somebody and say, well, duh, part two. So they even admit this is what they're doing. Oh, and by the way, that was 2 years ago. What else you got going on that we don't even know about? Good thing it's not coming here. It's already here. I'm just going to give you one place it's being used on a massive scale. In L.A. L.A. is using this kind of predictive policing to predict when somebody's going to do something bad. Watch this.
Police in Los Angeles are trying to predict the future.
We know where crime happened yesterday, but where is it going to happen tomorrow and the next day?
And they're not alone. More and more departments are using data-driven algorithms to forecast crime.
It's all about improving accuracy and improving our effectiveness, our efficiency, and our service to the community.
Proponents say it's helping to reduce crime, but others wonder, at what cost?
Predictive policing is changing policing in your city now. And we need to start asking the hard questions about, has it impact civil rights? Has it impact privacy? Has it impact suspects? Has it impact officers doing their job?
Say you're living in Los Angeles and you just got out of prison. The LAPD could be keeping tabs on you through a program known as Operation Laser. It uses crime, arrest, and field data to determine where violent crimes are likely to take place and who will perpetrate them.
Laser predicts who will commit a crime before a crime actually happens.
It's out there in public. Did you know that is being out there right now, in force, being done here in the United States of America? I didn't until I did this research. I knew about the Big Brother stuff. But you're using AI to create a Minority Report scenario in the United States of America? This is crazy. Folks, who gets to determine the definition of a criminal or a terrorist or whatever terminology? That's why we got a key, because you haven't even done nothing yet. Right now, you think they won't use this? If we're still alive and still here? Right now, who's the new criminal? Trump supporters. As nuts as that is, and what are they saying? We know those guys are a danger to society. And what they want to punish us. But what if we roll over and play dead on that one? Oh, what's another one? You know who's the new criminal? It's those Christians, those churches who keep meeting together when they shouldn't during this COVID thing. So you keep rolling over on this, then what's them to stop saying, like, okay, I know you haven't met yet, but we think you're going to meet, and we're going to come get you anyway. I know you're not going along with the new Green Deal and this liberal terminology, but you know what? You're a threat. We predict that, with your pattern of behavior, you're going to do something violent. You're one of those violent Trump supporters, and they'll come and get you away. Do you think that's far-fetched? No, folks. It's all step-by-step Okay, and I think ultimately where's it headed? In the 7-year tribulation. The Antichrist will tap in this whole system. And listen, folks, he will not only be able to stop you dead in your tracks when you try to flee. Get saved now before it's too late. Oh, please. With the AI global transportation system, with this system, they'll round you up before you even do it. Because they'll know everything about you. Your pattern, and then what's your recourse. Now, as we close, it's going to get even worse. Because they're also building into the system the ability, watch this, AI can now read your thoughts and turn them into words and images. Well, now what are you going to do? I mean, that's the last vestige of privacy. Because your course of action, if they were to come at you and they have all this external camera data that they're watching you, they've got all this internal Big Brother database stuff building a profile on you, okay? Your only recourse is, I was not thinking that. No, that's not what I was thinking. I didn't, that's your only, but now AI says, oh yes, you were. Now you're really toast. Now, how is AI going to do that? Well, one of the things that they're pitching, as you can see, is those brain chips that we saw that everybody's being warmed up to, right? Because if you get a brain chip, it'll do all these things for you. You can download information. Remember the study we did earlier on that? Well, now they're saying that AI, because you got the brain chip, it'll be able to determine that. That last scene there on Minority Report, after they hauled the guy away, what did they want to put on his head? See, that was external. That might fall off. But if you can convince people to get it on the inside, that's truly a prison planet. You have no recourse, no way to escape. But this reminds me of another scenario, another science fiction movie, is if you get in some sort of a chip implant, which is all the rage right now, now you're going back to not just Minority Report, but Logan's Run. Remember that? We dealt with that in the medical section. And what was the premise of Logan's Run? First of all, you were forced to do it at birth. Everybody had to get a microchip in their hand, and then that microchip blinked when it was your time to die. Remember that? Okay, well, first of all, it's called Logan's Run for a reason. He wasn't just a health fanatic, tried to stay in shape. It's what? When the chip in the hand went off, telling them to die, some people says, no, I don't want to die. And they begin to run. But see, that chip served a multiple purpose. It didn't just give you this so-called utopia with all these special abilities and then told you it's your time to die. It was a tracking device. So that if you dare try to flee the system, they could find you and kill you. Let's take a look at that again. You shouldn't take the chip. But then again, you didn't have a choice, did you, in this scenario? It was mandated at birth. Good thing we don't see any signs of people warming up to this, wanting to get microchips, including microchips in their hands, just like this, including microchips that even blink. It's all the rage. Watch this. This is nuts.
The most cutting-edge thing about Hannes Hörblad isn't the phone in his hand. It's the microchip actually in his hand. The tiny implant is the latest advance in a biohacking technology that is steadily becoming a part of normal life in Sweden.
We have created a new implant, which is not a chip, it's a full device where you can add different lights, different vibration, different functions. Sweden is a very tech-literate society. And I think this is the main explanation, really, why a lot of Swedes are adopting chip implants.
Swedes haven't been shy about upgrading themselves with the new version. Thousands already have microchip implants that they use in their daily lives, waving their hand to gain entrance to the gym, confirm their ID, or make payments. A short moment of pain not putting them off becoming part Swede, part machine.
This event is an implant party, simply where ordinary people can show up and get a microchip embedded under their skin. The biohacking movement in Sweden is hosting them all over Europe.
I think it's really cool. You don't have to carry any keys or anything. It's just your body. In maybe 10 years, everything will be in your hand.
In Sweden, more than anywhere else, the future is already here. The national train company SJ has around 2,600 people signed up to use microchips instead of train tickets.
Did you see that?
And no need to mind the generation gap. 18-year-old Felicia and father Magnus still bear the scars of their new implants. Student Hannah Herving is also freshly chipped and now just needs to program it to open doors. Although, importantly for a future career, it does already connect to her LinkedIn.
People have been putting these chips into animals for 20 years, so I'm not worried about that.
The long-term goal is for the new chips to help provide medical care in remote communities. They're already getting under the skin of the Swedes and may soon become just another normal part of modern life and of the human body. Paul Rees, Al Jazeera, Lund, Sweden.
Well, see how happy she is? Even blinked like Logan's Run is freaky. Did you hear her rationale? They've been doing this for 20 years and pets, they're okay. That was just step one. Why not do humans? Not coming, but already here. And they're even promoted and accepted in two areas of the body, the hand and the head. What do you think that is? It's warming us up to the actual mark of the beast system for those in the seven-year tribulation when that gets unleashed. You stir all this together back with Matthew 24 as we close, and Jesus said, if you find yourself at that halfway point and the Antichrist does his dirty deed, the abomination desolation, and says, worship me, and then you have the audacity to flee, you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going to go nowhere. You're not going to go nowhere. And what you will get is to be a part of the biggest bloodbath this world has ever seen. They'll even predict when you're getting ready to do it before you even do it. It's nuts. And we've rolled over and allowed it to happen. We've allowed AI to take over everything. And Lord willing, as crazy as that is, we got two more areas to go. Military? Oh. You're going to freak out on that one. And religion. What is this image that actually talks back to people? And when they say, no, I'm not going to worship you, it actually causes them to die. Is that technology? Does that have anything to do with AI? Will that become a new religion on the planet? Yeah, we'll get to that. But the point for you and I here today is to freak out and run to the hills. No, it's not. That's right, Pastor Thomas, to get excited. We don't know the day or the hour. What is this? This is all stuff that's going to culminate in the seven-year tribulation. We leave prior to what? Hey, bride, look up. Woohoo, your redemption draws near. This is exciting. That means Jesus is coming back to get us. We're not going to be a part of that time frame. But let us finish strong. If you have an ounce of compassion, let people know there's a way out. Of what did Jesus say? The worst time in the history of mankind. Noah's flood was pretty bad. How many guys can concur? Those of you who know the biblical account, hopefully you do, right? If you've ever had that yearly goal, which is getting ready to start, Lord willing, of I'm going to read through the Bible. You at least made it through the first couple chapters before you blazed down or whatever. The whole world was demolished, except for eight people and the animals on that boat because of wickedness and sin. Jesus said, what's coming is worse than that. How could that be? That's pretty bad. I think it's because the flood, when you look at how that happened, it happened relatively quickly. The water didn't just come from 40 days and 40 nights of rain. It came from the fountains of the deep, burst open, and flooded the planet on a massive scale that no one could escape very quickly. But it was it. And then no one in his family was on the ark for over a year. And then you know the rest of the story. This is going to last not one day, not 7 days, not 7 weeks, not 7 months, not 1 year, not 2 year, 3 year, 4, 7 years nonstop. God's wrath is going to be poured out on this planet. It's going to be an absolute satanic onslaught of murderous, wicked, massive. Just when you think one thing's done, you ain't seen nothing yet. And it's the beginning of birth pains. You got the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. You thought the seals were bad. You ain't seen nothing with the trumpets. You thought the trumpets were bad. You ain't seen nothing until you got the bowls. And all the way to the end. Ah! And yet you sit there. And you're actually pondering whether or not to receive God up on his gracious offer to forgive you so that you could escape that time frame. What are you doing? Why would you do that? If you're not truly born again, if you have any questions about that, make sure today. Why would you flirt with that? That's why God tells us this in advance. For us, the church, to remind us, don't get distracted, finish strong. We ain't afraid of this. We're not going to be a part of this. But we have the privilege to let people know how to get out. And if you're not saved, you better get saved now. Because the rapture is imminent. It could happen at any moment. Bang! And when we disappear, you're in trouble. So avoid that. Take the way out through Jesus Christ today. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something. Right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.